Let's open to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And we'll read the entire chapter. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like unto a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld, even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and that same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and which shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, and consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Well, here we have Daniel receiving a vision of the consummation of all things. Now, we saw when we looked at the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and that great metallic statue or colossus that he saw, we learned from that that there were to be 4 successive worldwide Gentile empires. And if you'll remember, in that account, there was that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands that smote that image on the feet. Do you remember that? Okay, can you see some parallelism here now between this account? And again, this account is from God's point of view. He sees the nations as beasts devouring one another. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar saw them as a series of more and less noble metals and a great colossus in the image of a man. Yes. 2 different points of view here, don't you think? Well, in both cases, at the end of the 4 successive empires, judgment comes. And of course, it's not surprising that this, in this account of the 4 beasts, we also find judgment coming. And that's what we want to start looking at tonight. So we'll start looking at verse number 9, if you will. And Daniel says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Now, it's easy to confuse the beast that we find in the book of Revelation, John's beast, which is the Antichrist, and this beast. This beast is the 4th of those 4 successive worldwide empires, that diverse beast, that nondescript beast that had the iron teeth and destroyed everything that got in its path. And so, with that in mind, we want to understand that God here is judging that 4th kingdom. And we're going to see in just a moment that there is a 3-fold judgment that's coming in the space between the dispensation in which we live and the millennial kingdom, that time called the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's when these things will take place. Now, to clarify here that there's a difference between John's beast, which is the Antichrist, and this Roman Empire here, let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Hold your finger here. Revelation 13 and verse number 1. We don't want to get the idea that the devil has been cast into the lake of fire, because we're going to need him around for a time called the little season after the millennium is over. Okay, Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. Now have your ears open and be thinking as we read this. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Which sea do you suppose he's talking about? Of course, the great sea. and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. What sort of cogitations are in your head? This kind of draws the net on what we're learning, doesn't it? Who was the influence behind the Babylonian Empire that gave it its power? And the Medo-Persian Empire? And the Grecian Empire? And the Roman Empire? Verse number 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? What is this Antichrist, this beast, a composite picture of? Yes, absolutely. Here it's all drawn together now, and it's a personification here, and that personification of all of these 4 successive worldwide empires is now in this person. Verse number 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Are you seeing a strong parallel between what we read in the book of Daniel and what we're reading here in the book of Revelation? A strong parallel. Verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Remember that image that Nebuchadnezzar set up in the plain of Dura? Who do you suppose Nebuchadnezzar was commanding all of the world to worship? Can you see how all of these things now have come to a head in this wicked person? If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Who's this character? The false prophet. Amen. That's right. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Whoa. Look at all this stuff. What does it sound like? Daniel is prefiguring all of these things in the visions that he receives, and the consummation of it actually comes in the dispensation after the one in which we live now. When the age of grace is over, the bulk of the book of Revelation is going to tell us what happens next in the time of Jacob's trouble. And so there's this deceiver speaking these great words, and remember the ending verse of chapter 7? Let's read it again, back in the book of Daniel. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. This is quite a revelation. Daniel now knows the course of world history and what it's leading down to. Isn't it a good thing that the Ancient of Days is going to sit in judgment to put a stop to this? You know, if the Lord had not come or did not come, then the tribulation in those days would be so great that there'd be no flesh saved. Daniel is horrified by the sight that he sees before him here. Now back to the judgment. Verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. Can somebody tell me where you might find a parallel account of this Ancient of Days? And besides, who is this Ancient of Days? Of course, it's Jehovah God himself, the Ancient of Days. We have a description of him here, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, and his throne like the fiery flame. Do we find that anyplace else in the Bible? Where? Pardon? Absolutely. Absolutely. John's vision of the risen and glorified Lord. Absolutely. So we're going to have then a time when the world course of history as we know it today is going to be ended, and it's going to be ended in judgment. And guess who the judge is going to be? Yeah, the one who the world presumes today to judge. How about that? Shall we see whose judgment stands? Amen. Okay, now, there are three judgments that are going to take place during the time that Daniel is describing here, is this time of judgment. It's sometimes called a dispensation of judgment, or it's sometimes called the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, why is it called the time of Jacob's trouble? This is instructive. Why is that time that we're speaking about? Some people call it the Great Tribulation, but why is it called the time of Jacob's trouble? Because the Jews are back in view again. From what ethnic extraction is Daniel? When he speaks of his people, who's he talking about? The Jews. And so Daniel is shocked here. The cogitations of his head bothers him, particularly because he knows that it's his people that are involved in this huge upheaval at the end of history as we know it. That's why he's troubled, and that's why his countenance within him changes. Now, what is the subject of the bulk of the book of Revelation? There's a little bit at the first that is about something else, a little bit at the last that's about something else, but what's in the big middle? The really big middle. Okay, but what people are in view? The Jews, those that say that the church has succeeded Israel, have a lot of explaining to do here, because it appears that the church goes through the tribulation, if they're right. Maybe they have one of those Bibles that isn't translated very well. I don't know. No, the church isn't going to go through the tribulation. The church isn't even in view after you get out of the third chapter of the book of Revelation. The whole bulk of the book has to do with this judgment. And it is exceeding terrible. Now, there are three judgments that take place during this period of time. And let's take a brief look at those tonight. The first is one that we ought to be aware of. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Somebody tell me where we're going. Okay, too late. You got there and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who is the we here, since Paul was not French? Yes, he's speaking of believers. He's speaking to Christians. He's writing to the Christians at Corinth. Well, what is this judgment seat of Christ? Somebody tell me what that is, or what might be a better translation. All right, the Bema Seat. Isn't it funny how the King James translators left some words untranslated? Those deep religious words like baptize and atonement and propitiation and all that cool stuff. And then they translate this word when they might have left this one in the Greek and translated all the others. Why did I say that? Somebody help me, I'm confused. This, the Bema is a good word, but it's the untranslated Greek word that's used here. What does it mean? It is a judgment, but you know the English word judgment is used to translate several different Greek words, and a lot of times when we have the Lord's table, I make a big deal out of some words that are translated judgment in English from various Greek words. And damnation, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself. See, I told you you could lose your salvation. No. Then how could the word judgment be used here? In what sense is it used? Yes. It's a loss of reward and the giving of reward. So it's not a judgment concerning the eternal condition of the soul, but it's a judgment concerning rewards received or rewards not received. Now, upon what hinge does this Bema Seat turn? What's in view here? What is being judged, or what about the person being judged is being judged? Okay. So then the preachers that tell you if you keep the Ten Commandments and all that sort of stuff and you be a good little boy, you're going to get more rewards than, let's say, Spurgeon and his stinking cigars. It does. It's talking about our willingness to undergo the sanctification process. And what are we asked to do in the sanctification process? Yes, participate. But what would participation look like? Okay, becoming more Christ-like, and what is the scriptural term for becoming more Christ-like? In fact, becoming totally Christ-like. It's a walk. There are two kinds of walks. A walk in the Spirit or a walk in the flesh. Those Christians that resist the sanctification process and absolutely insist on walking in the flesh get what at the judgment seat? It isn't what they are going to get, it's what they don't get. But are they on trial for their lives? No, that was settled in the new birth. So this judgment has to do with the sanctification process, and it's only for believers, not for unbelievers. Now, when does this take place? From everything else that you know about the Scripture, where in the timeline of history does this take place? Yes. Where's the church during the tribulation? What other great thing happens during the tribulation? Oh, yes. How about that? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Okay, something else then that happens. There's another judgment that is going to take place. Don't you hate it when somebody tells you the check's in the mail? Well, sorry to say, the check's in the mail. But not for us, for the Jews. The judgment of the Jews. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 4. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 4. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 4. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. What time is it? The time of... Now you see in the scripture where that term comes from, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, is Jacob going to have boldness to enter into this judgment? Should you and I have boldness to enter into the Bema Seat of Christ? Well, of course we should. Of course we should. Absolutely. Are there any bronze medals at the Bema Seat? I don't think so. But there are exceeding great rewards. And even if you don't get any of the crowns, what do you get? You still get a seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? That's right. Yeah, what, pardon? Yes. Yeah, you got the crown of life. Good thinking. Amen. Thanks for bringing that up. What? Well, that happened a long time before then. It's just that the marriage is consummated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But there was kind of a long engagement, like about 6,000 years or so. Do you believe in long engagements? Well, amen, that's a long engagement. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now, think about the time that Jeremiah is talking about when you consider the timeline of history. When do those things take place? Okay, Daniel chapter 12. I'm looking for my scripture. Verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Who's being spoken to here? Daniel. And who is this passage of Scripture referring to? The Jews. Can you see how it's kind of lifted out of context to use it as a soul-winning verse or an encouragement to soul win? What's it talking about? Jews that turn other Jews unto righteousness. Now, go back to the opening words of chapter 12 and verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up. At what time? The time of Jacob's trouble. That's right. Is he going to be saved out of it? Jeremiah said he was. What does Daniel say? Yeah, Daniel says he'll be saved out of it too, but that's not going to make it any more fun. That's not going to make it any more fun at all. Let's now turn to Matthew chapter 24. Now we're in familiar territory for you. What is Matthew 24 sometimes called? Because of where it was delivered. The Olivet Discourse. Amen. Well, now we had it from Two of the other prophets, Daniel and Jeremiah, my, how the Jews loved Jeremiah. That's why they put him in such palatial surroundings. Or was it a dungeon? Yeah, it was a dungeon. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse number 31. Did I say 24? I'm sorry. Yeah, 24 and verse 21. I jumped ahead of myself. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, what elect? And which days? What's Jesus talking about here? You know, there are those that try to inject the church into this. Would that be a good fit? Look at the beginning of verse number 21. For then shall be great tribulation. When is then? It must come at some point in time because the beginning of the world is mentioned here. How do we know that? Spoken of by Daniel the prophet, yes. He talks about that. Let's go to chapter 25 and verse number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Do you see something that's another parallel here? And it also brings us into the third judgment. But do you see another parallel with other scriptures that we've looked at tonight? For when the Son of Man shall come in glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Can you see that this is a consistent theme from Jeremiah? And we haven't even looked at the book of Joel yet. I think we're going to run out of time. But Joel talks about all the nations coming together in the valley of Jehoshaphat, where the Lord is going to plead His case with the nations. But the point I'm trying to make here is that this history of the world that we think has been great and wonderful, God sees as a series of beasts devouring one another, and He's appointed judgment, and when the judgment comes, He's going to plead His case. And He's going to plead it on behalf of Daniel's people. Why wouldn't He plead it on behalf of the church? Because the church will be with Him when He comes. Not in front of the judgment seat, but in the judgment seat. Where are you seated already? In heavenly places, in Christ. Who are you one with? And what's the scripture in Revelation that you think the devil hates the most? Did you ever think about that? Don't you ever have a day when you want to Hector, oh Hector? Okay, what is that? Let me see what you think. This is a straw poll. Yeah, he probably doesn't like that. But there's something I think he likes even less. And if you figure this out, you'll have a clue why he hates you. To him that overcometh, will I grant. Pardon? Think about what's this whole rebellion on the part of Satan and mankind all about? isn't it over who's gonna be God and sit on his throne? How do you suppose the devil received the wonderful news that he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am set down with my Father in his throne? You like to Hector? Remind him of that. It's kind of fun. You get bumps and contusions for it. But that's okay. That's okay. It'll all work out okay. And so, we have, first of all, the Bema Seat of Christ during this period of time. There's a whole lot of judgment going to go on there. As a matter of fact, most of it concerning the nations goes on in this period of time. So the saints are raptured out, Revelation chapter 4. They're already with the Lord when this judgment that Daniel is describing happens. The Christians, we, have already been before the Bema Seat of Christ. And now the second thing that happens is Israel's checks in the mail. Do you think Israel feels a sense of dread today? Do you think that there's a sense of foreboding? Well, there should be. Israel is surrounded by enemies. But guess what? Israel's always been surrounded by enemies. Can somebody tell me what the deal is with Jehoshaphat? You know, people use it as an epithet. But what's the deal? Why is Jehoshaphat famous in the scriptures? I want to leave you with this thought, and then we'll kind of dig into it a little bit next time. I don't know if he ever jumped, but I know what the scripture says happened in his days. It prefigures that. But how? You know, there are so many types in the Old Testament that will be fulfilled by antitypes in the New Testament. What's the deal with Jehoshaphat? Who was he fighting against? Well, it was a little bit before their time. What people's always been the nemesis of the Jews? Ishmael and the Edomites. Yeah, the Edomites, in confederation with a whole bunch of different countries, Egypt being one of them, came up again to wipe the Jews out, and Jehoshaphat fought them off. Do you know where the Valley of Jehoshaphat is? Just one more hint, and then you don't get any more until next week. Yeah, if you were on the Mount of Olives where the Lord gave this Olivet Discourse and you looked down the hill, what would you see? You'd see the brook Kidron, and you'd be looking straight down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And when he comes again, where's his foot first going to touch? Yeah, oh, woe are the nations. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you tonight that you give us all this encouragement in your word. Lord, it would be easy for us, as it was easy for the Old Testament saints, to look around and to develop a sense of hopelessness. But Lord, when we understand that you've planned and choreographed all of history, and then you take and share it with us, Lord, we're just grateful beyond what words can express. We thank you that you've brought us into these deep things, that we actually become advocates. And Lord, as we see history unfold before us, Lord, we know where we are in you and what position we occupy. And Lord, we see your greatness and your majesty and your power displayed. And Lord, that ought to give us encouragement as your ambassadors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.